Well, hey, great to see you here this morning at Cross Point. My name is Kurt. I'm the lead pastor here, and it is great to be back with you this morning. I've been off for the last 11 days or so, and let me say special thanks to Julie Butchenkirk. She's right here in the front row for teaching last weekend. Thank you, Julie. She rocked the revenge theme on Maleficent, and you know, it's been fascinating. I was listening to her message just yesterday, and these movies have an amazing connect to life. I mean, it's amazing when you look at popular art and culture how much these things have to do with things that you and I deal with on a day-in, day-out basis. So thank you for teaching last week. It's awesome to be away and know that we have a team here that steps in and carries CrossPoint forward without missing a beat. So, but it is great to be back with you today. We are in At the Movies. This is our next to last week in the series. And as Eric said, you know, we're not necessarily endorsing these movies, but what we are saying is that these movies, nearly every movie, raises a lot of interesting questions, a lot of faith questions. There's fibers of faith that run through them. And we're really looking at what God has to say about some of these issues that are out in our culture through the big screen this summer. And this week, we're looking at Jersey Boys, and if you're not familiar with the movie, how many of you have saw the movie Jersey Boys, out of curiosity? Excellent. About as many as First Hour. Everybody First Hour was in the theater I was in when we saw it. You know, it's a fascinating movie, and partly because it's a bio story. It's like a docudrama of their lives, and it's about four young men, of course, who formed the band Four Seasons with Frankie Valli being the lead, and it's really a story about this code of allegiance, this code of loyalty that these, at least three of these four men grew up with, the three originators, and then another member joined them that formed the Four Seasons, but, you know, and how this code of loyalty really, this thing they learned in New Jersey actually gets them through mafia threats, how it gets them through, you know difficult gambling debts, difficult family drama and issues, and it was very fascinating. Now, it's funny because about halfway through the movie, my wife, Julie, leans over to me. She's like, "Now, Kurt, what are you teaching on again this weekend?" I mean, it's like one of those moments like, what's the theme? And yet there is very much a dominant theme that as the movie kind of got to the pinnacle point in the movie. And I don't want to give too much of the movie away, but I want to talk today about something that's not intuitive at all to us. It doesn't matter if you're here for the first time. It doesn't matter if you're a seeker or a looker, or, you know, if you're checking out Jesus again, or if you've been, you know, in relationship with Jesus for some time. This what we're going to talk about is just something that doesn't come intuitively to us. And the thing I want us to look at is something that as the relationships form throughout this movie, you know, there's a lot of breakdowns, and there's sometimes sitting there watching this thing, and the question comes up, how do I forgive? You know, I watch Frankie Valli, and I watch some events that take place, and I watch him stand beside a guy that got him to the point, and I hear some of the words come out of his mouth, and I think, wow. And one of the things that's interesting is that didn't translate into every area of his life, but into certain relationships. He had a grace when he could have sold his friends down the river in a heartbeat. And it just begs that question, you know, what does it really mean to forgive? And I want to dive a little deeper than even the process to forgive. And I really want to get to the core of where forgiveness starts. But I also want to help us see how our ability to forgive or our inability to forgive actually impacts the nearness to which we have the ability to draw close to God. And I'm going to explain why the forgiveness deal is such a big deal horizontally, and hopefully you'll see by the end of this morning how, you know, even, and listen, if you grew up in church, this is something I didn't hear growing up in church. This is something that many of us, you know, that's why it's not very intuitive. If you're not, you know, very close to God, or you're checking God for the first time out today, listen, again, this probably isn't something that's very intuitive to anyone that's in this room. And oftentimes, you know, we find ourselves saying, well, I want to explore God, I want to check God out, I want to begin to, you know, I realize there's a spiritual being, I want to begin to establish relationship, and yet we spend a good majority of our lives doing things to foster that, but what we fail to see is how the relationships God has put around us actually impact our ability to connect with God. And so as I talk today, some of you might answer some questions for some of you. You might walk away saying, man, well, I've been attending, and, you know, I read my Bible, and I pray, but there's still a disconnect. I mean, I hear people talking about a personal relationship, and yet I've not experienced the kind of intimacy that I hear people talk about. Kurt, I'm trying, and there just seems to be something in the way. And so maybe today we'll bring a little bit of clarity as to where the root of forgiveness lies, but then also how that impacts our ability to connect with God. So, throughout the entire New Testament, which is really the time of the Bible that happens from Jesus' life forward, there's basically this overarching theme that we're told, and it's this theme right here. It's that you can't draw as near to God as effectively as you may want to, or as God may want you to, if there are unreconciled relationships in your lives. To your right, to your left, people that you haven't forgiven, people that you owe something to, people you need to repay, people that you've just hung on to some hurt on, and they've asked for forgiveness, but you've hung on to this thing, and you've been unwilling to let it go. And this actually has direct impact on our ability to connect at a deeper level with God. And if you don't believe me, you can just read the Bible. The Bible, you think the Bible would say a lot about, things like reading your Bible and how important that is, and it does. I mean, there's a lot in the Bible on that. There's a lot in the Bible on praying. That's a very important thing. But do you realize that there is more in the Bible on reconnecting and reconciling relationships than there is on reading the Bible and praying combined? Right? It's a big, big deal. Because it not only has impact on our human relationships, but it ultimately directly impacts our ability to connect vertically with God. The two are combined. So I want to take a look, starting in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at a couple key passages this morning. And check this out. This is pretty direct. This is interesting. And so this is Jesus talking here. And he says, if you are offering your gift at an altar. So he's basically saying, hey, if you're coming to church, and he's talking to a Jewish audience. This is in a Jewish context. All right. These are people going to the temple, going to their church context to bring a gift or to bring a sacrifice or to honor God. He says, if you're going to the offering and offering a gift at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you. That is, there's some unresolved relationship. There's some unresolved conflict with not just your brother. This is used as an inclusive term of anyone in your life, anybody God's put in your life, brother, sister, friend, family member, neighbor, whatever it might be. He says, leave your gift there before the altar, which is kind of fascinating because this wasn't always a safe thing to do. All right, back in this day, do you remember what gifts were? Gifts were like animals, right? So like you're going to leave it at the altar and it may not be there when you come back, right? I mean, you're going to go deal with something with your brother and your gift might just like walk off. All right, so he says, leave your gift there before the altar and go. Now, this is absolutely amazing. All right, this is actually Jesus' words right here. He says, before you come to me, look at what he says next. What's that first word right there? Let's read it together. What is it? First, yeah. He says, first, go. He says, before you come and get all ooey gooey with me, before you come and say, oh, let's get caught up in Jesus moments and God, yeah, I've screwed people over all around me, but man, I'm going to come worship you today. He says, first, you need to go and be, and here's the word right here, go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Then come and connect with me. And so he says, first, go reconcile and then, and we're like, whoa, these are two separate things, Kurt, come on. I mean, yeah, I've got some weirdness going on with my wife and, I mean, my kids, there's always a little weirdness there. I've offended a few of them and, they haven't done what they wanted me to do and, there's a guy in the neighborhood who it's always been weird with and the guy in the cubicle at work. I mean, we've never been on the same terms and my ex-wife and my ex-husband and my ex-this and my ex-that and I mean, you're like, Kurt, come on. I mean, I just want to draw close to God. People are like, I screw everybody else, right? I mean, I just want to connect with God. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, whoa, no. He says, first, you need to go reconcile with people on a horizontal level, and then come. And it's interesting, because he's like, he's saying, hey, the relationships you have this way actually impact the degree to which you can connect with me this way. And there's just a disconnect this way if things are out of sorts this way. And here's another verse I want us to look at today. This is another key verse. This is 1 Peter 3. And this is kind of a tough one. And wives, I don't have one for you. All right, guys, I'm sorry. I've been picking on you a lot during this series. But husbands, check this out for a moment here. This is strange. This is a really strange verse right here, all right? This is Peter talking here. This is Peter who hung out with Jesus, and he says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. And weaker is not a put down right here. We'll come back to that later someday in another teaching. Weaker is actually, no, I'm serious. This is serious. I don't have time for that right now, right? Unless you want to be here until like 2, all right? So weaker is actually an honoring term. We'll come back to that another time, I promise you. All right, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and here's the point right here, as heirs with you of the glorious gift of life. In other words, treat your wives with the respect, and then he continues, so that nothing will hinder, what would you expect right there? Your marriage, right? Treat your wives right so it doesn't hinder your marriage, but that's not what he says, does he? What's he say? Treat your wives right so it doesn't hinder your prayers. That's crazy. You're like, whoa, guys are like, no. My prayer, the way I treat people around me has nothing to do with my prayers. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, listen, I know I'm not as sensitive as I should be as a dad or husband. I know I'm not a good listener as a husband. I know I don't always make the right choices, but listen, God and I, we got it going on. I mean, have you heard me pray? I mean, listen, my family thinks I'm a spiritual giant. And God hears that argument. He's like, well, they're wrong. They're wrong. They're missing it. That's not the way it is. Because, see, here's what we think. Sometimes as men, we're like, man, God's up there thinking, well, yeah, God, man, Kurt screwed up this relationship, and yeah, he's not as sensitive as he should be, but man, have you heard Kurt pray? And I'm like, yeah, God, remember that thought, because I'm a good prayer. And God's like, no, that's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. He's like, you can't compensate for the dysfunction horizontally with your family or your spouse or your kids by just saying, oh, I'm going to do some spiritual activity. And some of you are like, well, what does that mean? I don't fully get it. I don't fully understand what this passage means, other than Peter says that your relationship with God this way is directly impacted by the degree of the health, or if there are any unreconciled relationships this way. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? Remember Zacchaeus was a wee little man? Wee little man was he? Climbed up in a sycamore tree, right? Because the Lord he wanted to see. Remember that little song? And as the Savior passed that way, looked up in the tree, and what did he say? Zacchaeus, come down. Because why? I'm going to your house. Yeah, you guys all remember that. So most of you remember that song. Well, you know, remember when Jesus went to see Zacchaeus? Remember what Zacchaeus was? You know, in the New Testament, there were like sinners, or categories of sin. There were sinners, and then there were tax gatherers, all right? Well, Zacchaeus was a tax gatherer. So, I mean, you got sinners, but then you have tax gatherers. That's like worse than sinners. Well, Zacchaeus was a tax gatherer. That's why this story is so powerful. It's because, you know, Jesus goes to spend time with Jesus, and what does he do? He goes and has dinner with him, right? Man, you are near to God when Jesus is having dinner at your table, right? I mean, that's about as near as you can get. And so Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house. He dines with him. And, of course, everybody in the community is muttering. And they're like, do you see what Jesus is doing? Does Jesus know? He's a Jew. And this man's a Jew, but he's working for the Romans. And he's screwing us out of money that we need to support our family. And he's taking more than the taxes for the Romans. And he's filling his pocket. Does Jesus know this? I mean, he spends time with Jesus, and all these people are muttering out in the community. And do you remember what Zacchaeus says when he's finished and walks out of the house? He comes out, and he's like, man, I've spent time with Jesus, and I'm going to make sure I'm in synagogue every weekend now. No, he didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, well, I'm going to make sure I pray every single day. I mean, those are good things. Don't get me wrong. Those are great things. You know what Zacchaeus said? If you don't know the story, here's what Zacchaeus said. He came out of the house. He said, hey, I've spent time with Jesus. And he said, if there's anybody that I've taken from, anybody that I've stole from, I'm going to pay it all back, and I'm going to pay it with interest. And this day forward, I'm changing the way I do business and the way I treat people. Because, you see, Zacchaeus understood this First Testament principle that the degree of unreconciled relationships this way has huge, huge impact on our ability to connect with God this way. I mean, Jesus prayed it, right? I mean, remember his famous prayer, Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Amen. No, he didn't end it. Some of us are like, man, I wish you would have ended it right there. Just forgive us, Jesus, and amen. No, he said, forgive us our debts. And then what does he say after that? As we forgive our debtors. See, Jesus understood that the degree to which we have the ability to reconcile our relationships this way directly impacts our relationship with God this way. You can't divorce the two. That's why this question of how do I forgive is such a big deal. All right, and the question is, how do we do that? Well, you know, what's the connection between the two? All right, well, see, many of you grew up probably in religious traditions where, you know, you went to church and it was just, you went to church religiously. I mean, you went religiously, you went through the deal, you did the deal, you said the deal, you prayed the deal, you knelt at the right times, prayed at the right times, said the right things, and there was absolutely no connection between your understanding of my relationship with God and my relationship with other people. I mean, as long as I say the right prayers and kneel at the right times, and as long as I do the right things, then, as long as God and I are good, then it doesn't matter if everyone else and I are good. And the New Testament says, wrong, time out. That's not the case. It's not the case. That's not how it works. Jesus says, that's not the way life works. There's a direct relationship between your relationship with me and your relationship with others. And here's the reason why. I want to try to explain this to the best of my ability for the rest of our time. See, here's the thing. The same thing in you and in me that caused us initially to rebel against God. Maybe some of us are still rebelling against God. You know, that thing that caused you to resist God. That thing that caused you to say, maybe you became a believer early in life, but then later in life you put Jesus in the back seat, and you're like, well, I'm doing life my way now. And, you know, though all of those things, or maybe you're still checking Jesus out, and you've not yet come to trust in him as your Savior, to believe in him. The things that cause us to resist that step, to resist that move, that cause to say, well, I'm going to live my life my way. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to, tell me how to use my body or, what to do with my money. I'm going to do with my body what I want to do. I'm going to sex who I want to sex. I'm going to spend what I'm going to spend. I'm going to treat people the way I want to treat people. Nobody's going to run my life. The same thing that causes us to resist, and this might be hard to believe, but stay with me on this. The same thing that fuels the resistance to reconcile our relationships with others is the same thing that caused us to initially resist God. Right? It's the same thing. Right? And at some point, for some of us, those of us who are in relationship with Jesus, at some point, we broke down that initial wall, and we broke that down, and we received grace. We submitted ourselves. We humbled ourselves and said, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. And so we broke the first wall down, and our lives begin to change. But see, that very first thing that broke through on the surface is still down in the depths of our soul. And it's wreaked havoc in our soul. It's the thing that causes us to resist reconciling, to say, well, I'm not gonna forgive them till they own their part. I mean, it's the thing that continually calls us to do that, and this thing continues to wreak havoc in our lives with God as well as with others. And it's this thing called pride. It's pride. And here's how I know this. Because as soon as I say to somebody in a one-on-one conversation or even here this morning, hey, why don't you go and forgive her? Why don't you go forgive him? Why don't you just pay back what you took? Why don't you own up to the thing that you did? Why don't you finally let go of the thing they did to you and let them be freed of the debt? As soon as I say those words, there's like this welling up of emotions and this resistance, and deep within our soul, this pride causes us to put on the brakes. And you're like, Kurt, seriously? I mean, that was a long time ago. I mean, Kurt, listen, 90% of the deal was their deal. Only 10% was mine. And I said, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the wrongest one of all? And her face and his name and it just pointed to them all the way. And as soon as they deal with their 90%, I'll deal with my 10%. And I'm not going to forgive them because. And what's really fascinating in the movie Jersey Boys was, the movie's kind of told from four different perspectives of the different band members. And one of the figures says at one point, I guess, as he's kind of reflecting on how some of the relationships went wrong and who was responsible, he said, I guess we all remembered it our own way because we had to do that in order to make sense of it. And isn't that so true? Don't we all kind of make our wrongs look a certain way so that we don't have to deal with them? And so Jesus is saying, the reason you don't want to make the call, the reason you don't want to forgive, the reason you don't want to take responsibility, I mean, past the excuses, past the, hey, but do you know all the history? Past all the psychobabble, is the thing that causes us to put the brakes down and to slow down and to not follow through. The thing that causes us to say, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. It's my life. I'm going to hold on to it if I want to. I'm going to handle it my way. I mean, God sees that, and he says, I just want to rake that out of your soul. I want to rake any last vestige of pride out of your soul. And the only way to do that is to send you back to the relationships horizontally in your life where it continues to surface and where you have to see it and you have to acknowledge it. And here's the thing. Here's why this is such a big deal. Here's why this is such a big impediment if we're not willing to take this move. See, we've been invited into a relationship with a humble Savior, right? This is a Savior who died for your sin, not for his own. This is a Savior who came on your behalf, not his own. This is a Savior who went to the point of death, humbled himself to the point of death on a cross, not for himself, but for you. This is a Savior who God says deserves all glory and all honor and all praise. And for you and I to actually try to move into a relationship with a God who is a humble Savior when we have all of this pride welling up inside of us. I mean, there's just an incongruence. If you and I try to move into a relationship with a God who deserves all the honor and all the glory, when we're saying, well, man, everybody's life should revolve around me. It's my perspective. It's my way. There's an incongruence. It's just a disconnect right there. There's a disconnect. And your Heavenly Father loves you. I mean, he's done as much as he can to move towards you, all right? He's done all he can through Jesus to move as close as possible to you, but he says if you want to draw any nearer, you've got to address the places where the pride is deep-rooted in your lives, and it usually surfaces itself in relationships with the people I've put around you. And he says, if you'll follow me, listen, if you'll follow me, if you'll have the hard conversation, he says, I'll break that last bit of pride. I'll break the power that pride has in the depths of your soul, and you're going to begin to experience me in a way that you've never experienced before. Here's the simplest way I can think to say it. It's like Jesus said, I paid a debt I did not owe. I'm just asking you to own the one that you do owe. I died for sins I did not commit. I'm just asking you to own the ones that you did commit. I forgave you even though I've never needed or received forgiveness. I'm just asking you to extend the same grace to others that you received yourself. And to respond to that and say, well, no. I mean, that's just flat arrogance. That's pride. That's pride at its deepest core. I mean, how in the world can a humble Savior move into a relationship with someone who's just got pride welling up all over? I think that's why Jesus said in Matthew 5, first, before you get all mushy with me, before you can try to all calm and connect and be like all hyper-spiritual and Jesus, I've screwed people in my life, and yeah, I'm leaving a lot of people, a lot of damage in my wake, but as long as I'm on you, Jesus, you know, I think that's why Jesus said, no, first, hey, I'm interested in that. He said, I'm interested in that, but first go and reconcile with your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your neighbors, people that need to be reconciled with, then come and connect. Then come, because you're going to be able to draw near once that is done. See, there's two promises I can give you on this based on the Bible. These both come from Scripture. Here's the first one. First one is this, that if you don't deal with your pride, regardless of where you are in your spiritual journey, if you don't deal with your pride, there will always be a sense of disconnect between you and your Heavenly Father. And you may never know it. You may be trying to figure out, well, man, I feel like I'm doing all these things, but there's just not a connection here. I mean, you know, because here's what's going to happen. Time's going to go by, a week or so, or a few days, and you're going to forget about what we talked about today. And so there's going to be nothing there to remind you that you've got relationships to deal with. And you're like, man, I've been praying, and I read my Bible a few days a week, and I go to church as much as possible. Those are all good things. You're putting yourself in a context for God to grow you. You're like, I've been to Explore Crosspoint like 4 times, and I serve 3 times around here, but man, there's just a disconnect. I mean, I don't feel the intimacy with God that I hear other people talking about. I mean, Kurt, what's going on? God's like, hey, it's right here. Hello. He's like, I don't know what else to tell you that if you don't reconcile the relationships in your life, you and I are only going to go so far. I mean, when you and I kind of take the posture and cross our arms, whether it's in our heart or in our mind or physically, and I'm like, I'm not talking to her. I'm not reaching out to him. I mean, as long as we stay in this posture, we're never going to grow close to God. And let me ask you just something else. Just do a favor. If that's your posture right now, all right, if that's where you are, at least do one thing. And this would be a big deal if you could just come to the place of saying, you know, the issue really isn't her or what she did to me or how he hurt me or what I'm holding on to with him. It's really a pride issue. The issue really rests with me. If you can acknowledge that, that'd be a huge step. All right? And then at least you and God will be on the same page on who's at fault. All right? Now, the second promise is this. If you will deal with this, All right. What starts off as a human interaction, what starts off as a phone call, a difficult letter, sitting down, writing a check to pay somebody back, what starts off as a human interaction will end as a spiritual interaction. I mean, if you take the move, if you make the move to reconcile, if you make the move to do all that you can, and there's a limit to what you can do. All right, some people aren't ready to receive or ready to move, but if you do all you can do, if you finally release them of that debt and you finally do what God wants you to do this way, then you will begin to experience something this way that maybe you have never experienced before. And you're going to be sitting there thinking, why did I wait so long to do this? It's like a whole nother layer has just been removed between you and God, and you're going to be able to draw nearer. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Kurt, how do you know this? Well, I can tell you first and foremost because I've lived it. I mean, I've lived, unfortunately, I could sit and tell you the stories of times where I have ruined a relationship because of pride. But I also know it because of what James says in the New Testament. Take a look at what he says. He says, God opposes the proud. Now, I want to pause there for a moment because I want to explain what that means. I want to be really clear on what this means. Does that mean that God doesn't love the proud? No. All right. Does that mean that Jesus died for the proud? We believe that? Yes. Does Jesus want a relationship with people who are proud? Absolutely. It's just that there's something incongruent between a humble Savior and somebody who's filled with this sense of, hey, I'm going to hold on to what is mine and I'm going to do what I want to do. There's something incongruent right here. All right. So look at this promise. All right, this promise right here, when you deal with your pride, this is what you can expect right here. This is the promise that comes right around the corner. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He's like, if you will humble yourself, if you will say, hey, I'm going to own my part in this deal. I'm going to do what I can to fix it. I'm going to focus on my 5% instead of harping on the 95% of the other person. You know, if you'll do all that you can. All right, and again, there's a limit. Sometimes people aren't going to respond the way you want them to, but if you do all you can this way, then he says, there's going to be a dose of grace that comes from me to you this way that you've maybe never experienced before, you've never anticipated before. And take a look at what happens two verses later, because these two are so connected. In verse 8, James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Look at that. He says, when you move this way, it opens up this way, and God will draw near to you. And some of you are like, man, I've been doing that, Kurt. You know what he'd say to you? Keep drawing. Keep drawing. Keep humbling yourself. You know, it's not a one-time shot. Keep humbling yourself. God says, hey, I've moved as far as I can through Christ, and then the barrier lies with your pride, and the more you deal with your pride, the closer I can get to you, and I'm going to continue to take you back to those places where it surfaces the most, which is in our horizontal relationships. And again, if you don't hear anything else from this morning, if you walk out of here and you're like, man, I can't do that. This is messy. It's too painful. No, I'm just not doing it. Then at least come to the place of saying, well, at least I'm going to acknowledge that this has to do with pride. It has nothing to do with who hurt me. This has nothing to do with the past. This solely has to do with my pride and my unwillingness to humble myself. I mean, what do we do with this? I mean, these are killers, right? I mean, this is like, aren't you glad you came to church today? You're like, man, this is awesome. You know, I go to these movies, and I'm like, this is an issue all of us deal with right here. How do I deal with reconciling relationships with the people that God has placed in my life? And so I want you to take out your next your connection card. On the back are some next steps, and in a few moments, every week we give you some next steps because we believe God wants to help us walk to a different path this week and take some steps to begin to make a change. And I'm going to give you a moment to mark these here in a moment. I just want you to hold on to this card and a pen right at the moment because here's the thing. See, we cannot compensate for our unresolved relationships. Right? We cannot compensate through religious activity for our unresolved relationships. We can't say, well, yeah, I've got a lot of collateral damage on the sides, but I'm just going to go to church more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read more. No, God says those are good things, but you've got to deal with the dysfunction out here. You can't just compensate through religious activity for it. And so this is why I think Jesus said, first go to your brother and be reconciled, then come and connect with me. So here's how I want to close today, because this has happened for some of us this morning, all right? I'd like to give the opportunity for God to bring some names and faces to your mind. And I did this myself this week, all right? I can guarantee it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be comfortable. But I want to give God the opportunity to bring some names and faces of people to your mind. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, man, I wish I would have waited till next week, because you're like on the every other deal, and you're like, I could have just missed this, and like life would have been so much easier this week. But here's the thing. Could it be that this is the thing? That dealing with your pride is the thing that's going to actually open up renewed relationships with people God's put in your life, but also with your intimacy with God. I mean, maybe this is the thing. This is a go-the-distance thing, the thing that's like, hey, I've taken the first step. I need to keep ridding it out. So I'm just going to ask our Heavenly Father in these next moments to bring some names and faces to your mind. As that happens, it's going to be up to you to decide what you do with it. All right, so let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes. I want us to be in a reflective posture right now. I want to ask you a few questions. What do you need to confess to people this week? What do you need to own up to? Who do you need to pay back? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to call? Where are there loose ends relationally right now? Who have you offended, and maybe you've excused your offensiveness because, you know, you're right. Who feels distance from you because of something you said? And again, you've defended yourself because, again, you were right. Who do you have imaginary conversations with, trying to convince them or control them or maybe convict them of something that's happened? Who have you hurt? Who do you know that is angry with you right now, and you just haven't gone back to try to get it right? Husbands, are your prayers being limited in their effect because you've tried to pray your way out of situations that you've behaved yourself into? Ladies, have you used your spirituality as a point of leverage in your marriage instead of just being the wife that God has called you to be? This morning is you, and listen, I'm with you on this, all right? As you sense the resistance, as you see names and faces to some of these questions, would you at least acknowledge, Heavenly Father, the issue here is my pride. It's not my past. The issue here is my pride. It's not my hurt. God, you see every one of our hearts in this room right now. You see every one of the relationships that we're currently in. You were there when we did what we did. You were there when what was done to us was done to us. Father, I just ask that this morning, in your own gentle way, that you would just do a little surgery. And you'd give us the courage to go deep and to go wide. To go back before we go forward. To go sideways before we go up. And that you'd give us the insight to know what to do. What's our first step this week? And then God, give us the courage to do it. And Father, I pray that you would just overwhelm those who are here this morning, who are authentically seeking you, that are seeking your presence, and that as they move in reconciling relationships to their left and to their right, God, that this would go beyond human relationships, and that there would actually be a nearness to you. There would be just an absolutely fresh and overwhelming sense of nearness and grace flowing in their direction. God, maybe some of us today, we need to move towards you for the first time. We've done it our way. We've had all the reasons. We've had all the resistance. We said, you know, I'm going to do it my way. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And maybe for the first time today, we've realized, man, I've screwed a lot of it up. And God, it's time for me to move towards you and allow you to guide me. And that can begin by just receiving God's grace, by saying, God, I want to receive your grace. I want to begin to follow you to the best of my ability. And that can happen right here in this moment. It can happen later. It can happen tonight. It's you just having that conversation with God. God, as we look to the right and we look to the left, God, I just pray that you would give us the courage to walk out what you're nudging us in right now. I pray these things in your name. You know, something that was fascinating in the movie is there was this incredible picture of grace given, but it didn't extend to all relationships. You know, you and I are the same way. We have this ability to say, man, I'm really good here, but I really am lousy over here. And so as you, as you think about your next step, I just want you to read through the back of your card, and I want you to think through, who's that face that came to mind? Who's that name that I need to now move on this week? And that's between you and God. But you can mark your step, declare it, and say, God, here's what I'm going to do. Make that your act of worship this week. PJ and the band are going to lead us, and as they begin leading singing for us, just take a moment and allow God to continue to nudge you. Be open to His Spirit.